Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It may smell like teen spirit, but it's beginning to look like a lawsuit. 720 WGN, John Landau, that's Nirvana from the album Nevermind and Smells Like Teen Spirit. The Nirvana album will be turning 30 in about a month, and a lawsuit has emerged. And to help us understand if it has any credibility at all is Rich Lenkoff from Bryce, Downey, and Lenkoff. Thank you, Rich, for joining us tonight here at WGN. I really appreciate you taking time.
It's great to be with you, John.
Well, thanks. Would you care to set this up? I'd rather have a legal person set it up than me, so to speak.
Yes, for sure. Spencer Eldon, who was the infant, as you mentioned, who was depicted, photographed naked in the swimming pool for Nirvana's famous Nevermind cover, but 30 years ago, is now suing the band and various records companies, some of which are defunct, claiming that the image constitutes child pornography.
Well, you know, when you get into this kind of verbiage and this area, especially in the current climate that we live in, you have to be awfully cautious about what you say and how you say it. The thing that strikes me about this is no one has ever complained about this until now, I believe. I've never heard anybody refer to that album cover other than, oh, look at that cute little album cover. Never a complaint. I mean, you know, if you think about it, this album, when it came out, it was in record stores because we still had them then, and they were in record stores all over the country, and anybody who came in to buy a record and wanted to take a look could take a look, and I don't remember anybody complaining about anything. So, to me, it allegedly sounds like, I don't know, an attempt to get some money and maybe some publicity. I'm not sure. What do you think?
Well, I think it's an excellent point that you raised, John, because first and foremost, the fact that he has not come forward before now is very relevant to his allegation of damages, but also equally important, I think, is the fact that he has himself three separate times posed on various anniversaries of the album underwater, recreating the scene. So, you know, typically victims of child pornography do not, they themselves recreate the alleged crime, right? That if I was sitting on a jury listening to this, I would find it very hard to believe that you were victimized when you are recreating the very scene that you allege victimized you. That's number one. And, you know, your first point about waiting a long time, I mean, that is not very uncommon, as you know, more than ever.
Right, absolutely.
You know, we just saw last week, I mean, on our podcast, Legal Face-Off, we covered yesterday a story alleging that Bob Dylan's now being sued by someone who's alleging abuse 65 years ago.
Right.
Not 65 years ago, 40 years ago. But the same point, you know, someone didn't come forward for, you know, 40 years, and the question is how is a jury going to believe those allegations? When it comes to sexual abuse, it's different, right? We understand that it takes a long time, typically, for those people to come forward, and we understand some of the reasons why. In this case, however, again, given the conduct of the plaintiff, he also, by the way, has tattooed that cover on his body. So I think it's going to be an uphill battle for sure for him.
Who do you suppose agreed to take his case? Because it sounds as though with all the items that you just mentioned, the fact that he's recreated that picture over the years, the fact that he's got that photo tattooed on his body would seem to indicate that what he's doing isn't in the area of pornography at all, let alone child pornography. I mean, like you mentioned, if it was, why would you put it on your body? I mean, it just doesn't, it doesn't jive. It doesn't make any sense to me. And he's 30 years old now, and, you know, the album's going to be 30, have its 30th anniversary in about a month. So, you know, it almost sounds like a PR stunt. But I don't know. It's just very, very weird.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's a very frivolous lawsuit. To answer your question, who would take such a case? I mean, the attorney who wrote the complaint, and it actually is a fairly well-written complaint, one of the attorneys who specializes in child pornography and crime victims' rights cases, according to his website, has an 85% win record. Now, who knows if that's true? Generally, you can't lie about that kind of thing on your website. So, you know, the for all of its frivolous nature, I think the complaint is fairly well written. That said, I don't think it'll survive a motion to dismiss for some of the reasons we talked about. In addition to that, I mean, the key question is whether this is child pornography, right? And the allegation is that because his genitals are shown, that makes it child pornography. I don't think, and I've read the federal statute dealing with child pornography, I don't think it meets the definition because you have to have something that's sexually suggestive. And the mere fact that the baby is naked doesn't obviously mean that there's some sexual activity suggested. So I think that is a key factor that's absent that would lead to this complaint's dismissal.
You know
mere nudity doesn't meet the definition of sexually explicit conduct.
You know, I heard the story, and so I went and looked at the album again because I've looked at it I don't know how many times over the years and never gave it a second thought. And now with this implanted in my brain, this idea, I looked at it again, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. First of all, the position of the child itself is the most prominent portion of this kid's body is his head. It's right near the dollars that are in the water. The rest of him sort of trails off into the water and is not prominent at all. It's not, they don't focus in on it. It's not prevalent in the, it doesn't, it's not prevalent in the picture itself. It looks just like a little baby without any clothes on.
Right. And while the complaint alleges that the dollar bill in the photo that's famously depicted as the baby chasing the dollar bill, the complaint alleges that that's actual evidence of child, you know, human trafficking. Opposite is true. I mean, everyone who knows that album cover has generally understood that to be a commentary on capitalism, right?
Exactly.
Rather than some sexual depiction of a baby. So, you know, I think everyone understands that part of the complaint is a little rough. And then, you know, it's also important to realize, you know, always asking these questions, what are the damages, right? This plaintiff is alleging $150,000 from several defendants, which is
each one. He wants 150 grand from 17. He wants 150 grand from 17 separate defendants, each one giving him 150 grand.
Right. So where do you come up with that number? I mean, that's kind of a stretch when you, I mean, the allegation says that he has, or the complaint alleges that he has lifelong loss of income earning capacity. I don't know I don't know what income he's looking to replace for 150,000 times 10 or 12 defendants. And again, it's hard to argue, I think, convincingly to a jury that you're suffering long-term, lifelong emotional distress when you yourself are posing four separate times in an update of that picture. So I think it's rough.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Rich, for being with us. I did definitely want to get a legal opinion on this and not rely on my own because I could possibly say something that I don't mean or would get me in a little hot water. But thanks very much, Rich, for being with us. That's Rich Lenkoff from Bryce, Downey & Lenkoff talking about the Nirvana lawsuit.